Good morning. Our scripture reading today is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Well, blessing it is for us to be here on this morning. I'm very thankful for the opportunity. It's good to see everyone here as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And if you're visiting with us, I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest, and we are grateful for you being here. All year we have been talking about making God's choice. And this month we have been talking about being intentional as it relates to seeking and saving the lost, evangelism, being that example that others may see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. I'm thankful for the song service that we have rendered unto our Father. It has been very encouraging, especially that last song, knowing that our Redeemer lives. And indeed, he does. As a matter of fact, the Hebrews writer would say that he ever lives to make intercession, Hebrews 7:25. And so, with that being said, we're grateful because as we think about what we want to finish up our month with, I thought about preparation, I thought about participation, and I thought about perspiration. And that last one, you're probably thinking, perspiration? Well, we'll have a little bit to say about that. When we consider the keys to the message of Jesus Christ, getting the message out there, and not just to those who are lost, but even to our brethren, to one another, even those who are in our fair city, fair town, if you will, that people see Christ living in us here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, that they'll be able to see that we're actually carrying out Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For God did create the church in Christ Jesus for a specific purpose, unto good works, that we should walk inside of those good works. And so when I think about even the great work of Jesus Christ and how he went about by the power of the Spirit, according to Acts 10 and verse number 38, and how he went about doing good. And we have the same responsibility. We have that responsibility as we understand the times that we're living in to do good. And when we see all of the chaos and confusion in the world that we're living in, here comes the Lord's people as we go out as one man, one mind, striving to bring lost souls to Jesus Christ, but also stabilizing us as the people of God and to keep ourselves stable. And that's going to require some things. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. How can we all band together to do the work of righteousness and to bring lost souls to Christ and to keep the saved saved? What can we do? How can we band together? How can we work together? What will it require? Well, it's going to require preparation. It's going to require us participating. And it's going to require us getting some sweat in. And the more I thought about this, I thought about those in the Lord's church and how the congregation here, if I can say it, and even represent the elders, there is a great deal of participation. And there is a great deal of preparation, and there is a great deal of perspiration here at the Ninth and Main congregation. Hence the reason people want to be part of it, and rightfully so. People should have a desire to be part of that which is good. Why? Because God is good. I'm reminded of Psalm 73 and verse number 1, just throwing this out there. God is truly good to Israel. He's still good to spiritual Israel, the Church of Christ, even today. And because of that, we ought to be a people of preparation. If you will, turn your Bibles, and I'm not going to be looking at a lot of passages of Scripture. even though I gave you much to look at, go to the book of Ezra, chapter 7. In Ezra chapter 7, we come across a great man of God who was going to be very instrumental in making sure that the people of God come back and build. But they had to have the word of God. They had to have God's instruction for them. Yet in Ezra chapter 7, we see something very interesting about this great man of God. For the Bible here demonstrates to us a few things. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Yisrael. The idea of preparation there is the idea of making firm. Here, Ezra made himself firm, steadfast. He made himself morally pure in the sight of God. But why? In the text, it demonstrates it. He prepared himself, he made his heart, he made himself firm to seek God's law. But not just seek it, but to also do it. And not only did he want to do it, but he wanted to teach it. And not only did he want to teach, he wanted to teach what thus saith the Lord. It's the same for us even today. Because when we think about preparation, friends, we have to understand the times that we're living in. We live in a time today where people are just doing what they want to do, almost like in the days of the judges, where the Bible demonstrates to us that because there was no king in Israel, men did what was right in their own eyes. People believe that they're their own standard. Those who properly prepare themselves in the word of God cannot come to that conclusion. It requires us properly preparing ourselves, understanding that the war that we're fighting in, brethren, is a spiritual war, Ephesians 6, verses 10 and following. But turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I wish I had time to deal with the context. However, Paul, as he is writing this letter, again, to the church at Corinth, they had many problems, many issues. And Paul said that, hey, I want to come to you, and I want to come to you either in love or I'll come to you with the rod. I'm going to come to you in a way that's by the word of God, or I'm going to come to you very harshly. However, he says, I'm going to come to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Yet, we see in verse number 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, now notice, are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now, Paul, what are you saying? Our preparation is not based upon physical armory. It's not based upon the AK or the 357 or the 9mm or the 22. No. He says our preparation, our strategy is not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Our fight is a spiritual fight. We use the word of God. And so when I think about properly preparing ourselves, we got to have a strategy. And the strategy that we have, of course, comes forth from the word of God. And we understand that we have a responsibility to carry out the Great Commission, which Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, verse number 18 through verse number 20, him having all authority, you go. And that's exactly what his disciples did. But he didn't tell them how to go. He just told them to go. One thing I love about the God of heaven, and one thing I love about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I love that they give us some latitude to actually carry out his will, because he has created us a very intelligent people. And so what does he tell us to do? He tells us to work out our salvation. He commands us to work alongside of him, Brother Leon, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and following. Why? Because we are working together with God. And so the world that we live in have all of these strongholds. They have all of these things that are causing them to be unstable in their soul, unstable in their minds, unbiblical opinions, causing them to be resistant, causing them to be stubborn, causing them to do their own thing. And here come the people of God. Here come the people of God who have prepared themselves to be a patient people, who have prepared themselves to be a precise people, who have prepared themselves to be a people who keep the commands of Almighty God. Stay with me. Because it requires all of that when you're talking to people who are stubborn. When you're talking to people who have unbiblical opinions. When we're talking to people who are doing their very own thing, and here we come just desiring to help. And the more that I thought about Jesus Christ and why he died on that cross, I tell you why he died on that cross. He died on that cross to keep the commands of Almighty God, John 10 and verse 17 and 18, but just to simply help man to come to God, and they killed him for it. They killed him for it. And it made me think, hold on, people will get mad at us, and the only thing we're trying to do is help them get better. Help them be better. Help them think better. Help their families be better. Help them not to think about things that are worldly and carnal, but to set their mind on things that are above. They'll get straight up mad at you. Call you all manners of evil. And the only thing you're trying to do is help them do better, think better, be better. How can we help? Well, if you notice under preparation letter D, we have qualified men and women here. How can we help? We have brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ who have properly prepared themselves in the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm not talking about people who study the Word of God on a daily basis. And I was going to do something, and I was going to embarrass some people, but I decided not to. But it would have been a good embarrassment, because there are some brethren here that are not preachers. And not men only. There's some sisters here that have properly prepared themselves in the Word of God that we can go to and talk to and be encouraged and get some wisdom from them. Amen? Yeah? There's some brothers that have spent ample time in the Word of God, and you can tell through long practice, because you can see it in the fruit of their lives, that they're actually not only believing the Word of God, but they do the Word of God, and they try their best to help other people out with the Word of God. But it required preparation. It required people really striving to do and be what they need to be. People who understand how to handle the Word of God and to actually handle it in a way where they're being tactful. Handle it in a way where they're using wisdom and care. I'll be honest, I haven't always done that, but over a period of time, you learn how. You learn how to conduct yourself and carry the Word of God in order to bring people closer to the Christ. But why? Because it's all about God getting the glory. And so it made me think about, what other means do we have? If you will, just kind of just give me a few minutes. I want to encourage you, because we have all types of material here. We have cards and reading material and Bible study materials on every exit, going out, coming in. And I thought about some things that, well, brethren and those in our world, well, they need more information on. And so how can we help our fellow man? Well, if we're going to make the choice that God made, and if we want the world to make the choice that God made, then if they have questions, like how to dress appropriately, well, we have DVDs. We have all of these things back here. If you would just go to it, we have it back there. Pick one up and peruse through all of the DVDs and the CDs back there. The information table, go back there and check those out. I know sometimes we walk out pretty briskly and very fast, and I understand that. However, when you walk in and you walk out, take some time and look at what we have available. Ten Commandments, the silencing of God. We even have things in Spanish, because there are people out there that don't know English. Well, let's give them some of this material. How to handle money. Searching for the truth. Why are there so many churches? God's plan of salvation. We have all of these things that if we can just keep ourselves properly prepared, I may not have all the answers. I may not know everything in the Word of God. I was talking to a good brother, Brother Bill Spiro. He was here before. We talk every Sunday. And I say, one thing I love about being a preacher, I don't have to know everything. I just have to have enough people around me that know what I don't know. Amen. It's not my responsibility to answer every single question. The person that's answering the question, that asked the question, has a responsibility to study it for themselves too. Believe the Bible. Does it matter? Notice this. The Old Testament, New Testament simplified. I tell you what's wrong with the religious world. They don't know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. They don't understand that there was a patriarchal system, a Mosaic system, and we're under the Christian system today. Some believe that we still teach the Ten Commandment laws, Brother Feisinger, today. And so they're trying to submit themselves under the law of Moses. But the Bible doesn't teach that. We're under the law to Christ. Well, this will be good for somebody. Understand that. Women's roles. Do you understand that the roles that God has given us in the church, in the home, even in the Godhead, you see roles. The more we think about this, brethren, we have all of the information, but we have to go study it. How about Islam? How about science and evolution? Miracles. People believe that we can perform miracles today still. We have information right at our fingertips. When was the last time you just perused through the catalogs that we have back there? Friends, I want to encourage you to look at it. Evil, pain, and suffering. Same-sex marriage, which is no such thing. Why call it marriage? God doesn't. God calls marriage an eligible man, an eligible woman coming before him in holy matrimony. How about abortion? Well, God doesn't call it abortion. He calls it the shedding of innocent blood. Mike, what are you saying? We have all of this information. Friends, go back there and pick up some of it. Prepare yourself and be prepared. But let me give you some more things to think about. We have cards, but we have a bunch of these pens. And I put a lot of them over here, and I put a lot of them in the back. And if you take notice of it, they have our name, our location, and our phone number. You know what I do with these pens? I give them away. You know why I give these pens away? It's almost better than a card, because they're going to be using it. And they can be looking at them like, and maybe one day when they're having a difficulty, or perhaps life is good and they really want to give God the glory. You know what? We need to go to church somewhere. God has been good to us. I think we need to go to church somewhere. Hold on. I've been writing with this pen. I remember the person that gave it to me. I think it was a great idea. We got about 1,000 of them, Sister Tony. I don't know, something like that. We got plenty of them. Take as many as you can. As a matter of fact, if you take 10, give 10 away and come back and get 10 more. Amen. But why? Because the only thing we're trying to do is do our part. And I know for a fact it will make you feel good about yourself. I'm doing my part. It's not our responsibility, as Brother Evan said on last week. All of us are not teachers, James 3 and verse number 1. But we can be a Barnabas, as he said. We can be an encourager. We can help people. We can give people words of exhortation. And so we want to be intentional. It requires us being intentional. And when I consider preparation is intentional. You have to have a desire to truly want to be ready. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Be ready to give an answer. And sometimes that answer is, I don't know. I love that answer. Because it doesn't make me look like I have to know everything, which is arrogant. Because I don't know everything. But I do know the one who does know everything. Oh, yeah. It's in there. The only thing we need to do is study it. Point number two. Participation. If you notice in the parenthesis, the I can attitude. I think about some of the great men in the scriptures, and they always, for some reason, would come before God saying that I can't. I can't. And here come God encouraging them. One way or the other, he's encouraging them. I'm of slow tongue. Who am I? Things like that all the time. And here come God encouraging them. You can. You can do this. I find it very interesting, even upon Jesus' resurrection, as he rebukes his disciples because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, Mark 16, because they did not believe those who saw Jesus after his resurrection. Yet, Jesus had more, now notice this point, friends, he had more encouragement or confidence, rather, in them than they had in themselves. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here's the greatest message that any man could even utter from his tongue. Jesus Christ and him crucified. The church of Christ, the kingdom of God. There's no greater message that a person can teach and preach or even talk about. Here, Jesus, they struggled in their confidence toward him, yet he had confidence in them. You carry that message out. Well, we need men like Caleb. If you look at your notes, it begins with leadership and it begins with us as members. Caleb, you remember in the book of Numbers how the people, those 10, came with a negative story, if you will, a negative report. After God told Moses, you send them out and tell them to bring back a report, and rightfully so, that's what they did. And Joshua and Caleb brought back the report that God gave is a land that flowed with milk and honey. It's going to be your land. It's going to be a great land. You're going to occupy that land. But then the 10 said, no, we can't. We're like grasshoppers. Now notice what he said. In our own sight, Brother Cortland. He didn't say in their sight, which meant that they didn't go out there and take a poll. Hey, how do y'all see us? No, they didn't do that. Here, they already had their mind made up. They see the giants in the land. We can't take the land. Friends, we can't be that way. What does it require? It requires us being like Caleb, who in the book of Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, had a different spirit about himself, a different attitude. He had the I can or we can attitude. We need more of that even today. Children of Israel, under the work of Joshua, he had that right attitude. Moses encouraged Joshua. I find it interesting that God encouraged Joshua. We see that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 34, Joshua chapter 1 verses 16 and following. And then the people, they encouraged Joshua. Leaders need encouragement. You know, we need to participate, but the congregation needs to participate by encouraging the leaders. Hey, let us stand strong. Let us do the will of God. Let us do the word of God. Let's make sure that we do our part. And everybody can do their part. But it continues in with our willingness to allow God to work in us and through us. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I know this is in the context of giving. But one thing I do love about the God of heaven, it doesn't require something out of us that he know we can't do. It's always according to our ability, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 12, notice what the Bible here communicates. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. If I don't have the ability like another brother or sister has, God is not requiring that out of me, but he is requiring that out of me, what I have the ability to do. And what I don't have the ability to do right now, Sister Braswell, I can learn it and develop it and grow into it. If you would have told me when I was 17, 20 years old that I was going to be preaching, I'd have laughed at you. I've said it before, I guess, maybe. I didn't have my first girlfriend until I was 21. I was scared of her. I was shy. I didn't like talking. Definitely didn't want to be in front of nobody. Hold on. Moses? Here, this man started off the way that he did, and next thing you know, he's called the great lawgiver. Friends, it requires preparation. But it's to one purpose only. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, don't have time to go into that text. It's to the glory of Almighty God. And it doesn't matter how good we may do. It doesn't matter how holy we may think. Friends, everything we do is to the glory and honor of Almighty God. And for this reason, we turn around and we give God the glory. When people want to come and have Bible studies with us, when they want to come and place membership with us, when they want to grow and be God's people, we turn around and we say, to God be the glory. He may use us as an instrument, Brother Leon, but it's still to his glory. So we're not lifting up the preacher. We're not lifting up the brethren. We're not lifting up the pulpit. If anything, we're lifting up the Christ. And no wonder Jesus would say in John 12, verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And everything that Jesus did was to the glory and honor of his Father. That should be our attitude as well. And so as we participate, we want to make sure that we participate by the will of God. If you look at letter C, notice what we put there. We participate in God's will by biblically meeting people where they are. You know what that requires? It requires using your two ears and less of your one mouth. It requires us actually hearing a person out. You know, I have a responsibility to hear everyone out. And then I filter everything that they say through the word of God, despise not prophesying. We think about that idea in that text. The idea there is hear what is being said, but then be like the Bereans. But also, as Paul would say, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, which demonstrates to me that, here, I'm going to hear what you have to say, then I'm going to filter through the word of God, and whatever is true, that's from God anyway. And whatever is not true is not from God. Friends, in order for me to have faith, in order for you to have faith, it must be a faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we have to biblically meet people where they are. Number two, we have to be socially encouraging to those lacking wisdom. How? Through edification. Go back and read these passages that I gave. Socially encouraging, meaning that we need to take a little time, get to know people, which means that it's going to require you spending a little time with people. Brother Chad had an excellent devotional on Wednesday night. And he talked about hospitality and how that's one of the qualifications of shepherds. But I was thinking about that even more so. You know, as the people of God, we ought to be hospitable, which puts us in a position where we can actually talk to people in a more comfortable environment, the environment we're comfortable in being in. The more I thought about that, I'm like, wow. To actually have people in your home to be able to talk to them, whether in the church or out of the church, for the purpose of encouragement. To see who they are, why they are who they are. To put them in a position and yourself to learn, to grow, to be more like Christ. Friends, the more we consider this, it's to God's glory. So biblically meeting people where they are, socially encouraging those lacking wisdom, but practically looking for opportunities to serve. Again, looking for opportunities to serve. Friends, that requires us having a desire to participate. There's one thing to have the mindset to participate, but there's another thing to actually participate. Question: what is important to you? Spiritually speaking, what's important? When we consider making God's choice, and when we really consider being intentional when it comes to seeking and saving the lost, number one. Number two, edifying one another as brethren, encouraging each other as the people of God. And one thing that we should have a desire to do is to make sure that the base is strong. And what I mean by that, the local work. The local work has to be strengthened and encouraged, just like Ezra, how he prepared himself, made himself firm, made himself stable morally and educationally, according to the word of God. But why? Because he wanted to go and do it and teach it. Finally, we talked about preparation, participation, perspiration. The achievement of working. Wow. As I was talking to Brother Bill a few days ago and sent them our bulletin article and he read it, you know, it's something about sweating. You know, you can sweat just sitting there. But when you actually exert some energy and that bead starts to form on your forehead and sweat starts coming through your T-shirt and you have to take a rag and you have to kind of wipe your brow, that's because you're working. You're out there and you're working animals or you're working on a car. You know, Daniel, we're working on cars sweating like Hebrew slaves out there sometimes. But it's nothing like sweating because you're working. Perspiration. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. There is an achievement. There is something that comes out of it. There's nothing like planning a job and then actually working the job, but then seeing the fruit from that job. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that. I can understand why certain people just don't feel good about themselves, because number one, they haven't prepared nothing. I ain't talking about none of us, talking about our cousins that live in other places. They haven't prepared nothing, and well, they're not participating in anything because they're either sleeping all day or staying on the couch. So they have nothing to show for it. They have no fruit for their labor. As a matter of fact, if I'm not doing my part, God can't do his part. Look at the text. Let's read verse number 3-6 so you can get the flow. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Notice, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, notice what God is ready to do. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. God is ready to do his part when we do our part. Friends, you can't get in shape if you don't change your way of eating. You can't get in shape if you don't exert some energy. You can't get out of the financial hole if you don't take the financial shovel out your hand and stop spending all your money. You gotta do something if you're going to reap something. So the more I think about perspiration, when I think about the results, the achievement because of the work, I think about the preparation. What type of prep work am I doing? I think about all of the prep work that God did in order to even bring Jesus into the world. And then here comes Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, Galatians 4. And now he lives his life in the flesh as he works for God. John 9 and verse number 4, I must work the work of him who sent me while his day and night come. No man can work. He's out there, he's working. And then he's on the cross and he says, Tetelestai, it's finished. It's done. It's completed. He dies on the cross. They put him in the grave. God raised him up on the third day, sets him on his right hand because the work was done. And now we see the fruit of it. Well, what's the fruit? Us, the church. To every atheist out there that don't believe that God exists, he does exist. Why? Because we're here worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Don't have to go to any more lengths than that. The very fact that we are in Christ, the very fact that we're keeping the word of God, the very fact that we're working out our salvation and we see the fruit of moral living, thinking right, doing right by our families, doing right by our fellow man, loving God with our heart, soul, and mind, we get to see the fruit of our labor. And so, God stands ready when our obedience is fulfilled. And so when our work is done, after we have done all of the planting and all of the watering, God is the one that says, I make it grow. Why do you think 9th and Main is growing? Oh, because we have this and this and this and that. No, it's growing because God gives the increase. Because I know some congregations that's doing just as much, but God has not given increase there yet. I don't know why, but they're faithful people. One brother said, and I close, you know, we're just glad that we're doing what God says. We're faithful. That's all we can do. You know, sometimes that's all you can do. Do what you can. As Jesus said about that woman that washed his feet with her hair and tears, she did what she could. Just do what you can. But you got to put that work in. Got to put your hand to the plow. Got to be obedient. Why? Because one thing that we know about the God of heaven, he sees the good that we're doing, Hebrews 6:10. One thing we know about the God of heaven, our labors are not in vain in the Lord. And one thing we do know about the God of heaven, he loves when we do his will. Question. I just have one question. And the lesson is yours. Just one question. Are you ready? If you're already working, are you ready to continue? If you're not working, are you ready? Are you ready? Because truth be told, it's not going to get any easier. How do we know that? As long as the world continues to go in the direction it's going, it's going to get darker. But one thing I love about the darkness, the light shines brighter in it. We're the light of the world. Paul would tell the church at Philippi, you shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Friends, we're the light. And we're a reflection of the light, Jesus Christ, who is the essence of light. Friends, what beautiful, beautiful thing that we can get ourselves involved in. We can get ourselves involved in preparation. We can get ourselves involved in participation. And we can get some sweat in. We can get some work in. Let's have a word of prayer. Lesson to be yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we want to make your choice in being intentional. Intentional in our preparation as we prepare our hearts, as we study and read your word, and ridden all of the impurities in our hearts and lives. As we prepare ourselves to go out and seek and save the lost, through fellowship one with another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, admonishing one another, helping one another, and really just giving each other the strength and the courage to go out and just live the life of Christ. We pray to Father that all of us would participate, that we would truly make up our minds to do what we can, whether it's like Barnabas or having the privilege to stand and to teach and to preach or to go out and proclaim the gospel to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And help us to be a people who perspire, who sweat. Because of the work that we're doing, we actually get to see the achievement of that work. Number one, just pleasing you. And number two, when you give the increase, people come and want to be better. Want to be more like your son, that you may be glorified. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to be better preparers. And help us to always strive to be a congregation that loves you with all of their heart, soul, and mind. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel, the good news. And it is good news. 2,000 years later, and it's still good news. What's that good news? Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. Established his church, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, the house of God. And he did that by suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross. And when that soldier pierced him in the side, Brother Leon, the Bible said, forthwith came blood and water. That same blood purchased the church. And for the child of God, it cleanses our conscience from dead works. For the child of God, friends, we can ask God to forgive us. And he's faithful and just to forgive because of that blood. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. And he'll do something amazing. He'll wash away every single sin that you've committed. Maybe a child of God, and you haven't been preparing yourself. You haven't been participating. You haven't been perspiring. Well, let's get started. Let's do it today. We need you now as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.